Certainly is good to be in the house of the Lord today. I enjoy church. And I have enjoyed church for many, many, many years. Whatever church I belong to, I enjoyed it. And the reason I enjoyed it is because I pour myself into it. I don't come to church to get, I come to church to give. Come to church to pour out my soul, to help somebody if I can. And if I can't help somebody, I'll shut up and sit down. We're going to talk about a very interesting subject today. It is called miracles. And in your hearing was read Matthew 15 and verses 30 and 31. I want to just go back to there and just read that again. Matthew chapter 15 and verses 30 and 31. Listen to this. Then a great multitude came to him, having with them, number one, the lame, number two, the blind, mute, maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, you do all things well. And you always do good. Whatever you do is good. And Jesus went everywhere doing good. And these were some of the things that we have read in your hearing and in the hearing of this congregation that resulted from the presence of Jesus in the midst of the people. And we expect the same things today, for wherever you go, whatever you do, it is very, very good. So we bless you and bless this congregation. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Look at the list of things that happened here. The lame. Jesus healed the lame. The blind, he opened their eyes. The mute, that's people that cannot talk, cannot hear. He opened their ears and he loosed their tongues. Now here's one that I particularly am intrigued with. The maimed. People that have had limbs physically removed, or they didn't have them at all. He restored them. That's what the maimed, you know, a person that is maimed might have had their hand caught in the machine, ripped off. Well, here's a brand new arm that Jesus put on there. Think of that. Marvelous stuff. They glorified the God of Israel. Now, Benjamin Franklin was a very smart man. And he lived in colonial times, and you know all about him. He had an inquisitive mind. And so did, as far as that goes, Leonardo da Vinci 200 years earlier. And yet, if we could go back into time and show them some of the gadgets and marvels of today, they would find them miraculous, wouldn't they? Automobiles, aeroplanes, computers, cellular phones, motion pictures, televisions, voice recordings, and so many things that are commonplace among us would seem miraculous to the people back then. The reality of space travel has made much of science fiction scientific fact. Robots, x-ray machines, amusement parks even, skyscrapers, subway trains, satellites, you name it. In short, there are so many things that we do today through technology that years ago would have been called miraculous. Utterly beyond human comprehension, beyond the human understanding of how the natural world works. But were they actually miracles? Well, to Ben and Leonardo, they would have been. So then what is a miracle? Miracles are all around. They are occurring all the time. We do not consider sunrises miracles because they happen all the time. Don't they? What if one time in your life a sunrise was to occur? Just one time in your life. You would consider it a most amazing thing, a miracle. But because they occur daily, we don't give them a second thought. Any more than a cell phone call or an x-ray of a broken bone. Science, you see, shows us the miraculous in ways our ancestors would never have imagined. Look at the incredible mysteries of cell reproduction. Just think of something like that. Almost every step of cell reproduction contains elements that we cannot explain. How does that happen? You could look under a microscope and look at these cells divide, 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 and turn into something that they're supposed to be. How does that happen? Aren't they just as miraculous as Jesus' miracles? Because they just continue and happen all the time does not make them less miraculous. The fact that you could continue to breathe is a miracle of God. Your life is sustained by a miracle. We walk, live, and breathe, and move in miracles. Now, we can't explain that either. We see the lights in those sockets up there, and they're shining, but how does that happen? Electricity, you say, but can you see it? We see the results of electricity. And everything that we see, all that we view in this world, is the result of what God has done. And how He has provided this world, imperfect as it is because of our sin, yet here it is. It is a marvelous thing to look out at God's creation and remember on the Sabbath day the wonderful creation of God and look at nature and look at you. You're a miracle. What is supernatural? Well, it is an event outside of our understanding of the natural. And the key phrase that I want you to take hold of here is our understanding. It's outside of our understanding. We are often afraid to call a miracle because we think there must be some other explanation. We see miracle and we try to explain it away. Something not seen, something that scientists might explain later, if they can't right now. Sometimes that's the way we explain away a miracle. Maybe that God will explain someday in the new earth the miracles of Jesus. Maybe He'll say this was a natural event. This was a natural cure. Who knows? Someone may ask Jesus, how did you heal the woman with the issue of blood? And He launched into some sort of gynecological molecular explanation that would no more make sense to us than radio wave digital technology would to Ben Franklin. It does not mean it was not a miracle. It means that it happened outside a particular limited understanding. We are limited by our own thinking. Miracles are just that. Miracles. And what makes them miraculous is that to us, for now, they are beyond our comprehension. Not only how they take place, but even when and why. Now, the greatest miracle of all, do you know what that is? Well, the wonder of it all, is the fact that Jesus loves me. Now, there's a lot wrapped up in that little phrase, Jesus loves me. This I know. Jesus loves you. That's a miracle. How could He love me? How could He love you? Look at us. But he saw something in us worth saving, didn't he? He said, it's not what they are, but what they could be that I'm interested in. How they can turn out. Their future is my concern. And so, way back in the past, he looked forward to this day. And he says, I'm going to make something out of you, if you will let me. And to others, it may seem miraculous. It is often said that there are fewer miracles today than there were in Jesus' time, but how do we know that? The ministry of Jesus was indeed unique in a number of ways. But to those who are open to seeing it, there is something incredibly miraculous about life itself. It is a miracle that we are even here. The great news for us as Christians is that so many of the questions that science leaves unanswered or can't even approach, we have answers for. Yes, we do. And those answers are found in Jesus. The true miracle of redemption, the promise of a new heaven and a new earth in which there will be no more pain, no more crying, no more suffering. Oh, only a miracle could bring that about. That miracle has happened. Jesus rose from the grave. If Jesus had not rose from the grave, all of this would be an exercise in futility. And because he did rise from the grave, and he did take death and hell captive, and set us free from the penalty of sin, don't you think that's worth our loyalty and our allegiance and our lifelong devotion to promote the cause of Jesus to the world? Because through Jesus, miracles happen. Miracles happen. And this salvation that we proclaim to the world, our three angels' message, all these wonderful things that we tell the world and tell the other churches, is so that these things will come to pass and that Jesus will come and he will save us from our sins. And he will transform us into his glorious likeness. And we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we shall be with him for eternity. That's a miracle. And that's the kind of miracle that we will, all eternity, will never be able to ever explain that. How? Miracles are not contrary to nature, but only contrary to what we know about nature. Now, that was not said by Grant McConaughey. I just said it, but it was St. Augustine who said that. And here's another quotation. There are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle, and the other is though everything is a miracle. Albert Einstein said that. And a lady by the name of Nancy Gibson, I don't know who she is, she said this: for the truly faithful, no miracle is necessary. For those who doubt, no miracle is sufficient. Miracles happen all the time. Many of you have need of personal miracles in your lives. There are empty seats here today because of those who are sick and in need of a touch of the Master's hand. And I believe that many will be healed. For as long as you live, you can expect God to heal you from every disease and every sickness until that time, as he deems it, a sickness unto death. For there is a sickness unto death, the Bible says. But until that time, ask him. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Do you need a miracle today? I need a miracle today. We need miracles. And we came to the right place because Jesus is the one who distributes favor in those ways. He is a miracle working God. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. Look at these miracles. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking. Do you have a problem with your tongue? Do you have a problem speaking? Do you find words hard to express? Take your case to Jesus. He will loose your tongue. Physical, maimed, made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. Blindness, of course, there's two kinds. There's spiritual and there's physical. The most important blindness that needs to be cured today is spiritual blindness. And most of our problems that we have today come from our attitude towards our problems. Let your problems defeat you, and you'll have no hope. Let your problems challenge you. Go to your knees. Ask Jesus to heal you, to touch you, and see what happens. There was a man who was witnessing to his neighbors. He had been a street person. He had been a drunk. He had been in problems all over the place. And he came to Jesus. And he was so happy with the results that he went back to his neighborhood and told some of his friends, try Jesus for 90 days. And if it doesn't work out, go back to the world. Well, anybody that took him on never went back to the world. If you could try Jesus for 90 days, how could you ever go back to the world? Jesus wants us to appropriate faith because he has it. He's giving it out. Unto each one of us has been given a measure of faith. But it isn't faith alone that does anything good. It's faith in him. Faith in Jesus, and watch what happens. Jesus is a miracle-working God. He has what you need. Do you believe in miracles today? Do you believe in Jesus today? Then let's bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, there are many needy right here in this congregation today. Send your Holy Spirit right now and illuminate their minds, illuminate their hearts, increase their faith. Have them now reach out and touch you as you go by. Like the woman with the issue of blood, who could not get close to you, but could only touch the hem of your garment. And as Jesus said, if you would have but a mustard seed, faith as a grain of mustard seed, we could move mountains here today. Whatever the needs of your people are this Sabbath day, come now, Lord, and touch them by your Spirit. As they reach out in faith to you and let the miracles happen. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.